666 Podcast. It is Monday, July the 8th or 9th. One of those two. What day is it, Ryan Wilson?
It would be the 8th.
Thank you, Sean Wagner. It's Monday,
Monday,
July 8th. It's a Super Friends mailbag edition of the Pick 6 Podcast. I'm Will Brinson, the host of this daily CBS Sports NFL podcast, the only daily NFL podcast on the entire universe. We're going to keep doing mailbags as long as they let us, because frankly, they're kind of enjoyable. I think they've been my, I don't know about you guys, but I've been entertained doing these the most. I feel like the energy gets up. You get feedback from the people listening. And, so as a result, we're going to keep doing them. I will guarantee you that any question within reason, which we'll get to in a minute, because if somebody gave us an unacceptable question, any question within reason that is asked on a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts / iTunes, will be answered on this podcast at some point. Maybe in the off season, maybe during the regular season, who knows? It can be football related, can be goofy, like, would you rather fight, 10 silverback gorillas or 100, Brock Lesnar's, right, exactly. It can be, you can ask for a Syracuse restaurant recommendation. You can ask.
Sean's life advice.
You can ask love life advice from Sean. We're recording this on July 5th, so really quickly, let's, talk about what may have happened on July 4th in our various events. I know that there were a lot of fireworks going on here. How are the, fireworks in Napa, Sean?
Bow chicka bow wow.
The hike was good. It was a good date. That's all I'm going to say.
Wow. You went on a 2-hour hike. Is that fair?
It was longer. I want to say it's like 3 hours-ish.
Right. Before you answer, Brinson, if you had to guess, of those 3 hours, how much time was spent holding hands while hiking? What would you say?
What on a 1 to 10 scale in terms of like difficulty, with a 1 being walking around like a greenway, or like walking to your little gym lake that you like to brag about, and 10 being Mount Everest, where does this fall on a scale of difficulties in terms of hikes?
It was steadily uphill for the first half of it, like hiking uphill, like not a smooth path. And the last part was like a fire trail, so it was pretty smooth.
Okay, I'm going to say that 0 minutes were spent holding hands while they were hiking, because you would never hold hands while you hike up the hill. That would just be stupid.
It's a date hike.
Right, but you don't get all sweaty walking over the hill and then be like, hey, do you want to hold hands while we walk down this tiny trail together? No, like,
humidity. What was the temperature? Probably 80?
You know what, Ryan? I do not remember. It was probably in the 80s. I did not record the temperature.
After the hike, it was in the 90s. did it go well? I mean, how would you describe it? Give us one word to describe the hike date around Napa, Sean.
Good.
That's a bad, come on. You're
great?
A freaking writer. Give us a word. Resplendent?
Oh my God. I'm sticking with good.
Unforgettable?
Lovely?
Sticking with good.
You romantic? Guys.
Did you have any wine?
I did not have any wine. I was driving.
Were you the only one who didn't have any wine?
No, we didn't. I told you, we didn't do wine.
Okay.
So no, after the hike, what time did you go hiking? Noon?
Jesus Christ, you guys like...
Hey, don't take the Lord's name in vain.
Yeah, please.
Brent's mother's a pastor, for crying out loud.
Retired pastor, but still. All right, let's get into some football.
Hey, before we do, one more thing.
Yeah.
You guys were doubting me in the last podcast, Brinson especially. I dug it up. You can tell the viewers, listeners, feast your eyes on this, suckers.
Oh, my God. Did you bring out a yearbook featuring...
What does that say?
Oh, we need to see the picture. Is that you with the mustache?
Look at that hair.
Wait, you look like a... Okay, all right, this is Ryan Wilson, Player of the Year. Ryan Wilson, Triangle 3A Conference Soccer Player of the Year. At where? What high school is that?
Harnett Central High School, Harnett County, baby.
Oh, we're doing high school stuff? Oh, come on.
That's what we were talking about last podcast when Brinson was bragging about his tennis game.
Oh, right.
I wasn't bragging.
Once Brinson started talking about his tennis game, you know, I'm not listening.
He thought I was lying, so I had to dig it up.
You look like some current athlete, and I can't picture who it is.
Steph Curry?
No. Anyway.
Washington and the Jesus Shuttlesworth movie? What was that called? He Got Game?
Ray Allen?
No, Denzel. I want to be Denzel.
What position did you play?
Second base.
I was number 8, Sean. I'm sure Brinson knows what a number 8 is.
Look at the
position in the field?
Yeah, that's number eight. You know what number eight is?
I think it's left field, right? Oh, in soccer or baseball?
In left field.
Wait, were you, this is a soccer or baseball situation?
This was soccer. I was wearing a soccer uniform in the photograph I just showed you from the newspaper from 30-something years
Does
ago.
Does anybody actually refer to soccer players by digital numbers?
Yeah, it just tells you their position on the field. I played central midfield.
It's weird, though. The number thing wasn't a thing when I was playing. Like, yeah, no one referred to it as that. Well, I feel like this has been the last, like, 5 or 6 years.
No one cares about that. But anyway, if you're wondering, I was a conference player of the year in high school in soccer. Brinson didn't believe me. I look forward to the next podcast seeing pictures of Brinson playing tennis in high school.
Sounds great. I'll get pictures of me from the state championship. Except my family didn't keep participation trophies like yours does, Ryan. Moving along. Burn. Moving along. Ryan has a trophy actually in his office, like right now where he's recording. It says, watch Star Wars 9 times. It's one of his kids. That's Sean. Sorry. Excuse me.
Yeah, Sean. I was looking
for that joke up.
Yeah. It was fine. Anyway, Justin Sullivan, via email. We're going to dive straight into the mailbag. Again, you can email me at wilbrinson@gmail.com. You can DM me on Twitter. It can be fantasy football related. In fact, I just got one right now that I actually think is really interesting. I think it's a no brainer, but I'm curious what you guys think. Would you keep Patrick Mahomes in the sixth? This is not from Justin Sullivan. This is from Mullins with a S as a dollar sign. Would you keep Mahomes in the 16th or Michael Thomas, the wide receiver for the Saints, in the 7th round?
I'm confused. Wait a second. What do you mean the 7th round? Why would he go in the 7th round?
Oh, my God. That's a keeper question, Ryan. You get to
keep. Oh, sorry. Yeah. All right. I'm out.
What are the – give me the rounds again.
Patrick Mahomes, 16th round, or Michael Thomas, 7th round?
Oh.
That's a really, it's a really, I think it's, I mean.
I would keep Mahomes in the 16th.
Wow.
I don't feel that strongly about it, but just the fact that you're getting Mahomes in the 16th, I think is, if you would have said 12th or 10th, that would easily be Michael Thomas, but I mean, cause you're going to be able to keep him for years. He's so young. I don't know. I think he's going to have a longer, if this is a league that you think is going to go on for 10 years or whatever, I would rather have Mahomes in the 16th versus Thomas. He might have, what, 3 or 4 more years left at his peak. Whereas Mahomes, what are you looking at me? How old is Michael Thomas?
He's like 25? He's like 23.
Year, yeah,
he's like 23, isn't he? He's 26.
Okay, 26. So he's going to be 30 in 4 years. I would rather have the guy who you can just always have for the next decade.
If this is a long-term keeper situation where you can keep Mahomes next year in the 15th and then the 14th and then the 13th and in perpetuity and passing touchdowns are 6, maybe I would go Mahomes. I'm going Thomas. I will always take the stud receiver or running back at a very discounted value, which 7th round is. Like, that's Michael Thomas. He's a first round pick or second round pick, I guess. I'll take Thomas. I think it's obvious. A lot of people are like, should I keep Mahomes? You have to keep Mahomes, right? No, you don't have to keep Mahomes. There's 15 or 16 really good fantasy quarterbacks out there this year. You don't have to worry about keeping the guy who, granted, is the number one quarterback. If Mahomes throws for 4,000 yards and 35 touchdowns, there's going to be other quarterbacks who outscore him. Now, if he throws for 5,050 again, you're going to feel like an idiot. You're going to hate me, but that's fine.
I am going to have to probably drop Mahomes, I'm thinking, in my keeper league. Yeah. Which will pay me to do so.
Yeah, you got to keep the running backs and the wide receivers.
I'm not going to drop Mike Evans or, you know what I mean, someone like that. Like
Mitchell Trubisky might outscore Patrick Mahomes in fantasy.
Okay, no.
He might. It's not out of the question.
I think that's out of the question.
It's not. Justin Sullivan asks.
Easiest $10 ever made, by the way.
Justin Sullivan asks via email. He's a Titans fan, obviously. That Mariota is entering his 5th year. And every year the same question remains. Is Mariota a franchise quarterback? This year is now or never. Time to bleep or get off the pot. If you're John Robinson, what do you do? What do you have to see from Mariota this year to re-sign him to a big contract? And Justin also asked for a prediction for touchdowns, interceptions, yards, healthy games played, and games won / playoff appearance, yes or no. So basically, what does Marcus Mariota have to do for John Robinson to re-sign him to a big deal? And what's your prediction for Marcus Mariota in 2019?
Is he going to stay healthy? That's where you start.
Well, that's one of the things you're supposed to predict.
So yeah. How many games played?
He's making $20.9 million this year on his 5th-year option, which is a ton of money to pay someone who has been more inconsistent and less effective than Jameis Winston. I don't think anyone would dispute that, which is troubling. But the thing is, when you look at Jameis's numbers, especially the advanced metrics, he is actually replacement level. I think that in his four seasons, Marcus Mariota has been mostly in the 20s in terms of DVOA, Football Outsiders advanced metric. Maybe 1 year he snuck into the top 15, but he just hasn't played well because I'm assuming the injuries. And even when he's looked to be healthy, he's been so wildly inconsistent. So I think he's putting on more weight, or he's doing new pliability exercises, something in hopes of helping the durability in 2019. The problem is this. So if you don't want to keep him after this year and you're going to have to pay him, is he going to play for $28 million a year on a long-term deal?
Yeah, I think he would.
Depends on his how good this season is.
Wouldn't he play for 25 right now? I mean, like.
Right now, yeah. But if he takes him to the playoffs and suddenly he has all the leverage.
Yeah, I think, I think the question is for John Robinson to give him a market value franchise quarterback contract, right? Which is that 28 million? Do we think that's 28 million?
I guess. I mean, that's like Andy Dalton money 6 years ago, whatever, whenever he got his last deal.
Okay. So looking at quarterback salaries, let's move down into the middle range, right? So, Nick Foles got 88 million with 22 million a year with 50 million guaranteed from the Jaguars. What's that?
What's Kirk Cousins works out to annually?
28. Jimmy Garoppolo is 27.5. Matthew Stafford's 27. Derek Carr's 25. Okay. So what would Andrew Luck, by the way, just 24.59. What would Marcus Mariota need to do this year for you to pay him $22 million a year over a 5-year contract?
4,000 yards, 28 touchdowns, 10 interceptions.
Yeah, I had something similar.
I think if he does that, you're talking about $28 million.
Because if you look at his 2016 season, which was like his only healthy one, he threw 26 touchdowns and 9 interceptions. So I think you'd want to see at least 14 games played, I would say, roughly those touchdowns, interception numbers, probably a little bit more touchdowns, a little bit more passing yards.
And they got to win. They got to win more than they lose.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what I was going to say is I think even if he does that, just given how inconsistent he's been, No matter what, I wouldn't give him that long-term deal. I would rather franchise tag him. Even if he takes the Titans to the playoffs, you franchise tag him and see if he can do it again. I think I need to see more than one season at this point from Mariota. So I think no matter what.
The other question becomes, all right, do you want to let this guy walk and take a chance on trying to land some guy in the draft that in August, you don't even know who that guy is right now? You can say Tua, you can say Justin Herbert, but you don't know. I mean, a year ago, no one was talking about Dwayne Haskins, because no one knew that he was even going to play. So that's the other math you have to do. I didn't even know who the veteran quarterbacks who were going to be able to be moved would include at that point. Like, I don't know who's in the last year of the deal, who's not going to be there, who's going to get traded, out of the crap that we have yet to determine.
Remember that stupid, like, should the Titans trade Marcus Mariota for Philip Rivers debate? That was crazy.
When was that?
Yeah, I don't remember that.
I made it up.
Was having that debate?
Me. Marcus Mariota, 27 and 28 in his career. His per 16 game numbers are not even that impressive for his career. 3,400, 30 yards over, like, that's if you pretend like he's healthy and maintain the same paces. 20 touchdowns and 12 interceptions. If he has a 30 touchdown, 4,000 yard season this year, and I want to give him credit. I like Mariota and I like the way that he plays. And I think that this is a great example of how sometimes in the NFL, a very talented player ends up in a bad spot for him, and it doesn't work out.
I think a lot of it is the injuries, because I think a lot of times when players suck, it's because they are hurt and we don't know about it. And I think that's a lot to do with it. Now, whatever, I don't know if he's predisposed to injuries or just unlucky, but at the end of the day, he's hurt a lot. Who's having a better season next year, Marcus or Jameis?
I would rather gamble on Jameis with the coaching staff.
Yep. I mean, actually not even close.
Marcus Mariota is going to be on his fourth offensive coordinator.
I was just going to say, who are his coaches? I don't think he's been placed in a good environment once throughout his career.
They've been a run-heavy team that's wanted to rely on defense. He's been good late in games. He just, 2017 was a disaster. He's worse than Blake Bortles statistically. Look, if he has a big year, then I agree with you. You tag him, and maybe it ends up being a Kirk Cousins situation where he gets tagged twice and then walks away, and the Titans are trying to draft somebody else in the process.
Is he better than Kirk Cousins?
No.
No.
I don't
know. Wait, is Mariota better than Kirk Cousins? I don't think it's even close.
No, it's not. I mean,
let me ask you this.
I want to believe he can be, but it's not close.
You look at those two guys standing next to each other, and you think Kirk Cousins must sell tires because he doesn't look like a football player, but he's a better football player.
Like if this,
I'd rather have Trubisky or Mariota.
Who's coaching? That's what it comes down to.
If you put
Mariota in Matt Nagy's system, he would light it up. I mean,
I would feel much more nervous about those MVP odds if it were Marcus Mariota 200-1.
I agree with that. I think I would. It's funny because the Bears actually tried to draft Mariota. They tried to trade up with the Titans that year. They offered Cutler and a couple picks, and the Titans said no.
Cutler.
What would I mean?
It's from Nashville. It was like a big thing about would they take that plus other picks and have a bridge starter.
He's from Santa Claus, Indiana.
He lives in Nashville. You obviously don't watch his reality show.
You clearly do. That's a big what if now, I think. Like, what if Chip Kelly had gotten Marcus Mariota? Like, would Chip Kelly?
He would have gotten fired.
I mean, probably, but I mean, Marcus Mariota would have been much better in Chip Kelly's system than he was in the Titans system with Mike Mularkey and Ken Whisenhunt. I don't know. Maybe he's still only 25 years old. He doesn't turn 26 until October. I know that he and Jameis, it's easy for us to bury them. It's too early for the book to be written on them, I think.
I will say this, though, about Marcus Mariota. No one talks, and I agree with you about him being only 25. No one talks in those terms about Blake Bortles. They're like, he's 25, he's done. Like,
yeah,
there's no saving, even when he's playing in Sean McVay's offense.
Jared Goff, too. It's like, this guy's finished. It's like, he just threw for 4,000 yards. What are you talking about? If you put Mariota in Sean McVay's system and he was 100-1 to MVP, I would be peppering that.
Yes.
Maybe that's who the Rams don't give Goff the contract, and then they sign Mariota after Mariota has an injury.
Or trade for Mariota from the Titans. Who starts more games for the Titans, Mariota or Ryan Tannehill?
Mariota.
Oh, God. Neither one's exactly the pinnacle of health.
Mariota.
Was that an answer, or is that just a...
Yeah, he said Mariota. I agree.
Right. I'll say I'm going to be bullish on Mariota this season. I'm going to say 3,800 yards... 25 touchdowns, 10 interceptions.
I was more bullish. We were both more bullish than you.
And if he does that season, would you tag him?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
25 and 10.
Tag now. It's going to be $30 million or something. What is it?
You tag him and try and work out some cheaper deal and see if he goes for it.
He ain't signing that. I wouldn't sign it.
Okay. Let's move on. We can't talk too much Titans on this podcast. Sheesh. We have other matters to get to, like... There's a bunch of dumb crap on here. It's fine. It's a mailbag podcast. This is Joey Hansen via email. I mentioned this in a previous pod, but I'm curious what you guys think. He says, love the podcast all the way from London. Listen every day on my way home from work and love it. I've also given it 5 stars on Apple. Question for all of you. What stadium/city, and this is a great one since Breach in here because he would say Cincinnati, and he would say something about chili or spaghetti with chili on top of it. What stadium city with a team is the best overall experience? Been to Tampa, New York, and Austin in the States for holidays, but want the next trip to include an NFL game and want to know where to go. And I believe, having corresponded with Joey, that he will be bringing his son along, who is not of legal drinking age. So that, if that factors into it at all.
I don't think it does. I have not been. I'm trying to think. The last time I went to an NFL game as a fan was 2005, when Tommy Maddox started against Byron Leftwich. You won't believe this, but Tommy Maddox threw a pick six in the game.
Was this before the XFL or after?
After. Yeah, because he joined the Steelers in 2002, I believe. Pittsburgh is actually a great town. It's a great small town. I was just hesitating because sometimes taking your kids to an NFL game can be problematic because the fans can get like crazy, like insane, and their fights. I think Brenton would know better than I would. I don't go to college football games to view them, but I feel like probably NC State is less a situation where people are fighting in the stands, right?
Yeah. I mean, you don't watch
NFL games. You can get people doing stupid stuff.
You got to worry about college kids, but like somebody puked on our seats last year before the Florida State game, before I got down there.
Will Brinson.
No. It was a Florida State fan. He was like hammered. He'd like thrown up like over 2 rows. He puked on some baby. I was pretty glad. There's some people in front of him had a baby.
How did you not tweet about that? You tweeted.
House is not on Deadspin.
I walked in and I was about to sit down in my seat. They're like, don't sit there. Don't sit there. I was like, what do you mean? They're like, so this dude puked all over your couch.
Can you imagine the entitlement coming out of Brinson's mouth when he saw that? How he was so poorly mistreated. on his one day off a week.
I turned around. I was like, dude, get a hold of yourself, buddy.
That's it. Pittsburgh is an awesome town for the awesome football town. That's all Pittsburgh. Steelers is all about Pittsburgh. The food there is really great in the city of Pittsburgh. Permane Brothers is the thing. Don't get a Permane Brothers sandwich. That's just sort of like the spaghetti stuff you're mentioning in Cincinnati.
I don't know if you know, I talked to James Conner yesterday, or not yesterday, on Thursday's, the 4th of July podcast.
What did he say?
He loves eating Permane Brothers. Although I think he might have said he gets the fries on the side.
Yeah, that makes sense. If you don't know, they put them on the actual sandwich.
So they did it because you're in the coal mines and you're trying to eat everything at once and you're not getting as much stuff dirty. And it's like now it's like they keep leaving the fries in the sandwich. So you don't need to do that. It's not practical. It's disgusting.
That message brought to you by historian Will Brinson.
That's right. Coal miners. I don't think I threw this one out there. But I can't remember if I was sort of going off the top of my head as I was doing them. I mentioned that Charlotte would actually be pretty cool. It'd be easy. It's accessible. It's in the South. You might not have been there, even to Tampa. So maybe you've seen something close. I think Dallas would be fun to go to.
You know what? The New Orleans Super Bowl was a lot of fun.
I mentioned New Orleans for sure. That's the New Orleans and Chicago were the two that I mentioned mainly. I would add now, Dallas and Seattle as well. As
you know what else would be a lot of fun? I mean, we were just talking about this team, the Titans, like Nashville.
Yeah, that's right. Sport. That's right. Yeah. Although.
Won't blow you away, but everything else will.
Wait until your son's drinking age to go to Nashville.
You can go down to Broadway and have fun. Just walk down Broadway during the middle of the day.
Yeah, true. Sean, what would be your suggestion?
I'll ride for Seattle. I think the atmosphere in the stadium, I know people I don't know if people make fun of the 12s and the noise. It actually gets insanely loud there and it's pretty cool. I remember when I went there when I was pretty young. It was Princeton actually might remember this because he was probably rooting on Rivers. It was a Chargers Seahawks game where Rivers threw a game winning touchdown with 30 seconds left. Seahawks had a really bad kick return called back. Anyways, the stadium experience is incredible. I couldn't believe how loud it got when I was pretty young. I also think Seattle is a good city just to visit. That's why I would recommend it. And the stadium is actually in a pretty good place relative to the city. There's Pioneer Square is a great place to get lunch or have a drink. And then you can just walk over to the stadium from there. The one stadium I would recommend not to go to is Levi's Stadium in Santa Clara. I mean, we all did the Super Bowl.
Burying Jed York.
I mean, it's not in San Francisco. It's a pain to get from San Francisco to Santa Clara. And the stadium, the fans roast in the sun. I think the atmosphere is pretty much lacking, so I would not go to Levi's Stadium.
I can get down for that. If it's this year, Oakland could be out there. I know that'd be a terrible place to go see a game, but you'd be seeing the final season in Oakland, which would be kind of
don't fun. Wear an opposing jersey to a Raiders game.
Don't do it.
Don't take a
I don't think you'd want to bring your kid to a Raiders game.
No, I think Nashville makes sense. I think Seattle makes a lot of sense. Charlotte, Pittsburgh. I think those are four good starting points.
Dallas. New Orleans. Okay, moving along to the iTunes reviews. This is from Penn's cousin, Alex from DC, who has actually emailed me. So do you guys know the Holderness family? You know, Christmas jammies, the Christmas jammy thing? Ryan, you've seen this. Sean probably hasn't seen it. They did the Christmas jammy rap song a few years ago where they're all in their pajamas. They're on Good Morning America. You've never seen this?
Yeah.
What the hell? How have you never seen this? The family lives in Raleigh, and they Penn's one of my buddies. I promise you, you've heard of him if you see it. Anyway, this guy's Penn's cousin, and he had asked me if I could be the MC for their fantasy draft up in Blowing Rock. And I said, sure.
Oh, that's where we're going with that story. All right, rinse and name check. Okay, what do you got?
I just can't believe you've never heard of the Holdernesses.
Congratulations on the pajama dancing.
If you were only able to order one meal from a fast food joint for the rest of your life, what would it be? For me, it would either be a Cajun filet biscuit combo with Bo Rounds and a sweet tea from Bojangles, an excellent choice, or a cookout tray with a barbecue sandwich, corn dog, and slaw, plus a milkshake. Sean, I will let you go first. If you could only order one meal from a fast food restaurant, what would it be?
So I don't eat that much fast food. The only fast food place I go to, right? I knew you were going to shake your head.
Obvious humble brag.
And so I expect people to not like my answer. But I would go to Chipotle and get a chicken.
Does that count?
I don't think that counts.
It's well, fast. That's the only fast food I eat.
It's
so
not
I don't...
fast food. It's fast casual. You've never eaten McDonald's or Wendy's?
Wait. What's the difference? Chipotle's not fast food?
No.
They literally scoop it and give it to you.
What a millennial. What?
It's supposed to be unhealthy. That's the whole point.
Fine. I'll go to In-N-Out and I'll get a double-double.
Nice.
I don't eat that much fast food. However, allow me to rip off In-N-Out's burger menu.
I wanted to pick Chipotle. I think Chipotle is fast food.
No, it's good for you. It's relatively good for you.
Fine. In-N-Out, double-double with onions, with pickles, and then animal style fries and a shake. A vanilla shake.
But
I'm not happy about it.
I don't eat.
Yeah, you sound irate. That's why you ordered a milkshake instead of a ice water.
This is a hypothetical milkshake. I'm not actually drinking it.
Angry is about eating In-N-Out. I've never met anyone so angry about In-N-Out.
Sean, did you used to be like fat because of In-N-Out, and now you're like 100% have a complex?
No, I'm mad that I can't pick Chipotle.
It's just not fast food. The guy, the little a-hole who did that TV show for a while, was like, it's fast casual. That's why I started Chipotle to be a fast casual chain. He's like some dork.
I think it's fast food masquerading as.
It's not bad for you.
It's not terrible for you. It's not. If you eat a Chipotle every single day, you're going to get fat.
Yeah, if you don't do anything else.
Chipotle is not
food.
Look, fast food needs to be drive-through. Yeah. You're getting it in like 5 seconds. Chipotle's
it's
not
something
fast
you throw
food.
At your kids to shut them up, and you're not going to do that. You're going to throw a burrito at your kids.
You can tell, Ryan. You know
they have kids plates.
Ryan, you know who you can tell didn't spend his childhood riding around in a station wagon, eating like cheap meals on the highway.
Sean wore.
Oh, I wasn't allowed to have fast food growing up.
Sean sat in the car seat till he was 18.
Wow.
I mean, you can't blame me for that. That's my parents.
We didn't serve fast food on the private jet when we went to Hawaii for vacation. I don't know.
That got diverted to Fort Lauderdale. I will say this, in Sean's defense, as he tells me I'm number one, we don't eat fast food either, and we don't let our kids eat it.
Wait, okay.
So I have not eaten fast food in quite a long time, but when I was in my 20s and single, I would – and this was before, like I was reading what Penn's cousin – I was like, oh, this sounds amazing. I haven't been to Bojangles in so long. But I used to get the McDonald's because we lived right across from McDonald's in Boston. I got a McDonald's number two, which at the time used to be two cheeseburgers and a fry, I think.
Sure, great company.
And I would get with no pickles because I'm not a pickles guy. And my favorite memory of that is I would get that all the time. I asked for exactly that, number two with no pickles. I got a number two with no hamburgers. So the a-hole behind the counter gave me four buns in total, cheese, pickles, no meat, and I got home. I was like, this is super annoying. So that's the last one I had. And that's my go-to if I were doing this. But, I think In-N-Out makes a ton of sense. And fast food is so much better now than it used to be. Like, I think Wendy's shakes are the jam. Are they still good, Brinson? Wendy's shakes?
I haven't had a Frosty in years. I honestly, we sound like a bunch of douchebags.
Does Chick-fil-A count?
Yeah, hell yeah, Chick-fil-A counts.
Oh, then Chick-fil-A. So I'll get the spicy Chick-fil-A sandwich. I've gotten that.
Well, that's the answer. That's the answer.
Let me ask you this. Are taco trucks fast food?
No. Those are food trucks. Those are food trucks.
Right.
Okay, I'm just asking a question.
Fast food is something where
I would take a taco truck.
You're driving down the highway, you're hungry as hell, and you yank off, and you pull into a drive-through, and you get a combo, a number combo.
I love that Sean can't understand the concept of
fast food. Unbelievable.
I don't eat fast food. I'm trying.
I just sent you a link in Slack.
I'll ride for.
CNBC wrote, why it can be a big problem that some Chipotle diners consider the chain to be fast food. This is you. It's not fast food.
So I'm not the only one.
Right. There's a crap ton of millennials who think Chipotle's fast food. It's not.
That's so probably a good thing. That means we're eating less actual fast food. Anyways, I was going to say a Blizzard from Dairy Queen is my go-to fast food dessert. A Butterfinger Blizzard. Sign me up for that.
Wow, what a man of the
dough.
What a man of the people.
I'm cookie dough. Sorry, cookies and dough. If I eat it fast, does that count as fast food?
Cookout and Bojangles both deserve. I might even go Cookout. Cookout style burger.
Cookout.
It's North Carolina. It was in Atlanta. You saw it in Atlanta. It's got they usually have double drive-throughs, one on each side. You can get corn dogs as a side. Like you can order a hamburger and get corn dogs as the side.
That's quintessential fast food.
You can get chicken tenders as a side, quesadilla as a side.
What? Yeah, those are meals.
No, but it's like $5. You can be like, give me a Cookout burger. I want a burger tray, Cookout style, with corn dogs and a quesadilla, and you will get a giant sloppy burger with corn dogs and quesadilla. If I had to eat one for the rest of my life every day, it would be the spicy chicken sandwich from Chick-fil-A.
I think that's right.
Except
the fries are legit too.
Yeah, with waffle fries.
Their milkshakes aren't bad.
Yeah, milkshakes are great. The only problem is you would starve on Sundays. Next up.
You buy two on Saturday.
Oh, yeah. Follow up. If you could only eat one fast food restaurant the rest of your life, what would it be? So you get the whole menu. That's a tougher one because you.
I might do In-N-Out. I'm on the East Coast, so I don't have In-N-Out, and I love In-N-Out. Although it's been sort of commercialized. It's no longer. I think it's in Vegas now. There's some other places that it's in.
It's in like Arizona, Las Vegas, and California. I think those are the only three.
Oh, okay. All right. I'm In-N-Out in it.
I think I'm going to go Wendy's. They have a really good chicken sandwich. They have good burgers. The fries are above
Sir,
average.
Sir, this is a Wendy's.
You can make that joke every day. They have good enough ice cream. I don't know if you guys, Ryan might remember this. I know Sean won't remember this. He's too young. Although sometimes they have them a little in other places around the country, but Wendy's used to have a killer taco bar inside.
Do not remember.
Ooh, I would have signed me up for that.
Wendy's used to have, so on the Wendy's at, in High Point, like it used to have, you would go in there and you could buy like, it was like $8 and you would get all you could eat taco bar, salad bar, and like a baked potato bar too. It's pretty solid. Anyway. So I would choose Wendy's if I had to pick one. Champ Style on Apple Podcasts titled the review More Welsh and then wrote Do It, and I didn't get it. Do you guys get that? Did I miss a joke? Is there something we talked about?
What's the review?
More Welsh? I don't know. I didn't get it. So Champ Style.
Wales?
I just don't know what he's...
I don't know.
I just don't know what he's suggesting, what he wants. Here's the mean review of the day. From Fergatron69. Yeah, you sound like a blast, buddy. Team Bias. I have listened to this podcast for over a year, as I listen to most NFL podcasts as well. And the one thing that's really stuck out to me is Will's team bias. It's utterly embarrassing and everyone can see through it. Him ranking Juju above Antonio Brown in receiver rankings was a tipping point for me because he's obviously just salty Brown left his team. Not very good analysis from a, quote, pro. There are many other things I've let slide because I do enjoy the podcast, but it's just bad more than it is good. So congratulations, Fergatron69. You have correctly identified me as the Steelers homer on this podcast. Not the guy I was talking to, Bryant McFadden, who played for the Steelers, or Ryan, who is wearing a Steelers poofball hat right now.
Poofball? Is that what? What's a poofball?
I
have one. I think Fergatron69 nailed it.
Good call.
Well done, sir.
A
year ago, by the way, it's worth pointing out, you said the Steelers were going to miss the playoffs, and it made me very angry.
And I was right.
Yeah, so take that, Bergatron.
This is from Wayne Polaris Water on Apple Podcasts. I will direct this towards Sean because Ryan doesn't understand the concept of keeping players in fantasy football. it's a Gurley Dalvin Cook trade. I think this is an interesting one. I answered him via email, but I want to hear what Sean thinks. He says, I have Dalvin Cook and Daryl Henderson. Another person in my league has Todd Gurley and Alexander Mattison. Daryl Henderson, obviously the rookie running back that the Rams drafted, for concerns about Todd Gurley. Alexander Mattison, of course, the rookie running back drafted by the Vikings. He sent me two trade offers, either Mattison for Henderson or Cook for Gurley. So would you guys rather have Cook and Mattison or Gurley and Henderson? Thanks a lot, guys. Great show. I've been listening to it every day for 3 years now. Sean, what do you think?
So is it not an option? Because the two guys I want are Henderson and Cook. The guys that he has.
That's what so I told him.
So I was trying to read this for a long time, and the way he phrased it, I was like, is there not a way for him to have Cook and Henderson? And then I just reread it. I was like, wait a minute. He already has
Cook
guys.
And Henderson. That's what I told him.
Those are the two guys I want. And then the third running back I would rank there is Mattison, probably. I mean, it feels like we're a little bit too low on Gurley.
You would rank Mattison above Gurley?
I think so, because I have concerns about Dalvin Cook's health. As I do with Gurley's. So I think in a long-term league, I would probably rather have him, than Gurley, who we are all pretty low on Gurley, I feel like.
Yeah. I told the guy, I was like, and Ryan, feel free to jump in on this if you want. I told the guy, I was like, don't make a trade. Cause I think what happened is this guy was basically like, hey, we got the same guys on two teams. We should make a trade. So that way we've got, we each have two guys on one team. He's like, oh yeah.
Yeah, the handcuff.
Yeah. And basically like tried to like talk him into this because this guy's stuck with Alexander Mattison, who's a below average handcuff, and is stuck with Todd Gurley, who's a potentially disastrous starter. You want Cook and Henderson.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a no brainer. You just stamp out. And my point is always make sure to like, don't get bullied by somebody in a trade in a fantasy league. Cause it happens a lot. People are like, hey, you got to make this deal. We got to make this deal. We got to do this so we can like match up the players. No, you don't. You got the two
also,
players.
Don't feel like you have to make moves. Like there's one guy I play in a league with in every sport and he just over tinkers to the point where he'll start a year like in fantasy baseball with the best record. And then he'll make so many trades that he'll just kill his team. Like you can just stamp out. You don't have to make trades.
As my friend Garrett says, don't mess with happy. This one's for you, Ryan. T-Coil 17 on Apple Podcasts. Title is T-Coil 17 versus Breach. I like it. Week 13, does Breach honestly think Dalton beats Darnold?
Yeah. He is all in on the Bengals. I don't think he's kidding about any of that stuff. He's usually pretty honest about what he thinks the Bengals are going to do. He's always very optimistic around this time of year, and then by November, he's sort of accepted the realization that they're going to be terrible. And I think we'll have to wait till November to see that. But right now, he's all in. I mean, he's probably one of the happiest people we know.
He's a real Bengals fan, though. He actually thinks the Bengals are going to be good.
He's talked himself into a 10-win season. Like, he has mapped out all the things that can go right for
them.
He's
very optimistic. And the only person off the top of my head who's happier than he is his dad. Like, that guy loves football, and he played for some good Bengals teams. He wasn't there for the...
He played in two Super Bowls, right?
Yeah, he wasn't there for the doo-doo years. Yeah. But Breach was at the game. No, he wasn't at that game. He was at the game where Ryan Shazier got hurt, but that's the game where the Steelers came back, and I think that was the... No, that wasn't the playoff game. He was at the playoff game where Pac-Man Jones made those two stupid fouls, and What's-His-Face ran into the locker.
Perfect ran into the locker.
Yeah, and there was no way they could lose that game, and then Hill fumbled, and we know how that ended.
How long has John been with CBS?
He was doing Rapid Reports after I joined in 2011. I bet he started Rapid Reports around 2013, maybe 2014.
He says John Breach has been to CBS Sports since July 2011.
I don't know if he's been there that long.
But that's what his bio on our website says.
John's bio said that. Okay, so he was in Rapid Reports back then.
Let's listen to John. My theory is that Breach is under the belief that Andy Dalton arrived in Cincinnati at the same time that he arrived at CBS. And so, like, he thinks in his mind that there's some connection there that, like, this is how I feel. John Breach has been at CBS Sports since July 2011 and currently spends most of his time writing about the NFL. He's believed to be one of the only three people in the world who thinks that Andy Dalton will win a playoff game someday. The Ohio native now lives in San Diego because the beaches are nicer. Interesting.
Our bios are not up to date.
What does mine say? I wonder if mine still is. Will Brinson is single and devastatingly handsome.
That'll update that one.
By the way, I want to put this out there. The next time you tell people to leave reviews, tell them to leave their smoothie reviews because I need some new smoothie recipes. Just throwing that out.
This is a football podcast, Ryan.
Well, talk
about your damn smoothies.
Sir, like, this is a Wendy's drive-thru.
Smoothies.
We just talked about fast food. And
there's an internet of recipes. You don't need readers to give you or listeners.
What's your go-to smoothie right now?
Oh, I've been doing this one for about a year now. I brought it on the podcast the other day, and Sean laughed at me because it was literally 72 ounces. I'll tell you real quick. Bananas, spinach, yogurt, almond butter instead of peanut butter because my son's allergic to peanuts. That's why. Not because I'm a hipster. Almond milk, protein powder.
Almond. What's wrong with regular milk?
I do coconut milk. Big Dairy? I thought you were against Big Dairy.
Yeah, Big Dairy. That's why. You guys talked me out of Big Dairy. And frozen berries, and that's it. Sometimes honey.
I don't know that you're going to get better than that.
Yeah, sometimes people put like cocoa beans. Coffee beans to give it the coffee flavor.
You're anti-coffee now.
You can do decaf beans. Just looking for it. I'm trying to mix it up, Sean. You don't do the same thing every day. Jeez, sorry for bringing it up.
Change your frozen fruit. You said mixed berries. Mix that up. Do some strawberries and bananas.
Yeah. All right. Next question.
There you go.
Mix up
there
your berries and throw some avocado in there instead of spinach. You get your greens and, you know, your green flavor.
That's not a bad idea. Yeah. See?
You should have just asked us instead of asking the listener.
Where's the person who was like, who said something about Ryan's humor? I was going to read it. It's like, Ryan's like so funny when he comes off the cuff.
He said doo-doo today too. So he's really playing to his audience today.
All right. We're going to take 40 minutes in. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back to wrap up this mailbag.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, The designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives, you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid, wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. All right, back after that break, we somehow got 40 minutes in, and we've talked about smoothies, Sean's love life, Breach.
My high school exploits.
Your high school exploits. But we didn't find out about movie theaters. This is from Z-Rod 10 on Apple Podcasts. The guys are all great, and Will is very funny and entertaining, fun and entertaining to listen to. You can't get bored. Find the lie. It's funny how they make fun of Sean. Again, find the lie. Ryan is so chill, he's pretty cool, and Breach is pretty chill. I love this review. Who would be the one to talk on their phone while everyone is quiet and trying to watch a movie in a movie theater? I want to stop you guys right now and point out that there's an obvious answer that everyone's going to give. I'm going to fall on the sword. It's clearly me that you guys are going to answer.
Phone, though?
Ryan would find it. No, I would never do that, but I've gotten yelled at.
But you in your everyday life, you're always texting and tweeting and stuff.
I don't talk on the phone at all. But Sean, I have to imagine actually powers down his phone for the movie theater because
I'm a big movie goer.
Right, Sean's the guy who turns around and gives you the shh.
I don't do that. I definitely glare at people if they take out their phone and are texting or whatever. Don't give me that glare on the side of my corner of my eye. What are you doing?
I would say Breach is a wild card for this, but Breach just might not go to the movies.
No,
Breach would leave in the middle of the movie, and then we would not know where he went, and then he would sit back down 5 minutes before the end of the movie and act like nothing was wrong, and he wouldn't tell us where he went.
Ryan would like huff and puff like under his breath in the theater if he saw you doing it, and then yell at you afterwards.
I think Ryan would fall asleep in the movie, so he wouldn't know what's going on.
Now let me ask you this: so we went and saw Avengers Endgame with my wife, and I was like, she was like, has never seen an Avengers movie at all, and I was like shushing her when she was like,
okay.
Asking questions, but like, it'd be like if you took somebody who'd never seen a Star Wars movie to see the new Star Wars. They'd be asking the questions, be like, why is this dumb crap happening? Right. Doesn't matter why I took my wife to a movie. Don't ask the questions. Okay, pal. I would never, I like flip my phone over and like wouldn't even look at it during that movie because I think it's we went to a Sunday matinee showing of Toy Story 4. And I was like checking my phone and the waitress, it was an Alamo Draft House. The waitress came in and like gave me my one warning before they throw me out.
Oh, good. Good for her.
No, I've heard that movie theater chain is known for
their food is outstanding, by the way.
Throwing people out though for talking or for using it, yeah. Which every movie theater should do.
Yeah, but I feel like there's a difference between a Sunday matinee Toy Story 4.
These are Will Brinson's movie theater rules. If it's a Sunday day movie, then he can annoy whoever he wants in the theater. But
I wasn't annoying anybody. I was keeping my phone low. It wasn't bright.
You're annoying the waitress.
She accidentally spotted it while she was bringing us.
Go in the hallway if you're not watching the movie.
Right. People pay to see a movie. Like
it is annoying when you see people's faces light up with their phone screen. That's annoying. No one wants to see your face light or dark, and then they're sitting there trying to watch Toy Story 4. Which I heard
why
was
would you even do it? You paid to see a movie. It's 2 hours. You can't not check your phone for two hours.
How mad Sean is.
Yeah, there's nothing will make me hate a movie experience than if I sit down and I can already tell the people next to me are going to be talking or they're going to be looking at their phone. It just brings me out of the movie. I need to be in the zone. I need to be, you know, involved with the movie that people wish. You guys, you saw A Quiet Place? Have you guys seen A Quiet Place?
Yeah, it's a lesser version of Bird Box.
Okay, I was just setting you up.
I want to go to a movie with Sean and just like ask him questions the whole time.
He would murder you.
A Quiet Place is like a movie where is people can't Arya? Be loud.
Is that Arya Stark? This is a Rogue One movie.
This is a Wendy, sir.
All right, let's move along. WTF is this garbage? Thanks. On Apple Podcasts. Loophole! What's your social security number? You said you would answer anything. It's a good loophole. It's 555-55-5555.
Well, the person who has that social security number is going to be pissed at you.
I don't think they're that high yet. What are the first three digits of your social, Sean? That's serious. I mean, for age purposes?
I'll give you one digit of my social security number.
Mine starts with a 2.
Oh, mine starts with a 2 as well. Maybe that's maybe North Carolina, South Carolina.
Mine starts with a 5.
Oh, whoa. Really?
I don't know if it's regional, though. I'm not sure how the numbers
I'm
work.
Pretty sure it's across the country because of Social Security. You're like, they just count up. They just count up. What's the second number in here, Sean?
Stop it. This is going to a place that we're not going towards.
Sean fell for one number. He's not falling for two.
Now, what's the third number, Sean? Devo3455 on Apple Podcasts asks, no idea about silverbacks. Here I thought this would be insightful commentary on silverback gorillas, but in a stream of consciousness tangents about beer and occasional NFL talk. He wants to know, is Josh Rosen a bust? How can he succeed? I am a fan of his. He went to my high school. At first I read that, I thought he was talking about me. I was like, oh, you went to my high school? You should leave your real name. And wanted to see him do well, but it sure looks like he is going to getting bent over with horrible situations. Will he even be just okay, Ryan?
I want him to be just okay because I feel like last year Kyler Murray could have been on that team last year, and that team's winning 3 football games.
Tom Brady or Peyton Manning could have been on that team last year, they're winning 3 football games.
Tom Brady and Peyton Manning together playing at the same time could have been on that football field, and that team would have been terrible. Steve Wilkes didn't know how to use him. He didn't know how to use David Johnson. Mike McCoy got fired in the middle of the season. I mean, so many things went wrong. So thankfully he was traded, except he was traded to the worst team in the NFL in Miami, the Miami Dolphins, a team that looked like a 3-win team. So the only hope is that Brian Flores, the new coach, and the new coordinator, Chad O'Shea, who both came from New England, have a plan in place. But I think I've said this before. I would start Ryan Fitzpatrick for the first month of the season, see how things are going, and let Josh Rosen have a chance to succeed. And we just did something stupid again.
I think Josh Rosen will have a good year. I actually drafted him in our we did a
why is he going to have a good year?
I don't think he's going to have a good year per se, but I think
what you just said.
You just what do you mean?
I don't think he's going to have a 4,000-yard, 40-touchdown season. I think he's going to have a season where people say, "Okay, maybe the Cardinals prematurely got off of Josh Rosen."
If they start 1-5, the conversation is going to be about Tua and Josh Herbert. That's what, just like this year. Well, it actually wasn't even about Kyler Murray until he declared. So no one thought they were going to draft Kyler Murray until February or whatever.
I just think that the Dolphins, I think Chad O'Shea, who's their offensive coordinator, the first time offensive coordinator, is coming from a place where he worked with Josh McDaniels, and he will be able to design a scheme that is friendly enough for Josh Rosen's skill set, which is to give him some easy looks and some quick throws behind a questionable offensive line. Just some, you know, they got some decent talent down there. I mean, I'm not going to pump up like Kenny Stills. I mean, Devontae Parker, Kenny Stills, and Mike Gesicki.
Devontae Parker's not good. It's been like 3 years of us projecting he might be good. He's not good.
I mean, is Devontae Parker like worse than Sammy Watkins?
Yes. Immeasurably.
Yes.
I mean, he is, but I mean, like, you know, I was trying to say.
The two arguments Brinson's are making is that Josh Rosen's good. I didn't say that.
But not good per se.
Sammy Watkins is as good as Devontae Parker.
I mean, Devontae Parker's still just 26, and he's been playing with a coach who hates him and crappy quarterbacks his whole life.
Hey, Jay Cutler was his quarterback for a little bit. Watch your mouth.
Crappy quarterbacks.
I actually remember when Jay Cutler got there, he called him a faster version of Alshon Jeffrey. And that quote, no lie, sparked so much fantasy interest. Devontae Parker was going in like the fourth round or something.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, Chip took him really early in one of our fantasy drafts.
Because people were hyping him up with Cutler coming there. He called him a faster version of Alshon. No, I'm over Devontae Parker. Yes, I may have drafted him that year. Maybe that's why I'm saying this, because I'm so angry.
I just think, I mean, look, I think Josh Rosen could have 30. I think, all right, I'll put this out there. I think Josh Rosen could have a better season than Marcus Mariota.
No, he won't.
Well, I mean, if Mariota gets hurt, sure.
But he won't.
Who would you rather have for the long term, Josh Rosen or Marcus Mariota?
Marcus Mariota. Just because I don't know.
No way.
Josh Rosen's on two terrible football teams.
You've seen him play 1 year on the worst football team we've seen in the last decade.
I wouldn't want to see any
non-Jackson edition
on this Dolphins team.
Right. I'm not giving up on Josh Rosen. I refuse to do it.
Giving up on him, but he has the cards stacked against him, or the deck stacked against him.
Yeah, I want to like him. I think he was my second favorite quarterback last year in the draft, but I just don't see how he succeeds. I don't think it's not his fault he didn't succeed last year. It's not going to be his fault he doesn't succeed this year, but I just don't see
how. I think next year he could be somewhere else just because they're going to be terrible and they're going to try to move on.
He could be the Titans quarterback in a year.
That's not crazy. That's actually not terrible.
What about Josh Rosen to the Rams when they trade Goff and get rid of him? And then they trade a 6th-round pick for Rosen after Rosen is terrible in Miami.
They're just going to sign Jared Goff. They're just going to pay Jared Goff.
I'm aware, but I don't think they should.
Okay. This is from Harry Spartan on Apple Podcasts. Podcast question, and it's actually a question about podcasts. Podcast question, love the podcast. The four super friends have awesome chemistry. Myself and three friends started a sports podcast in my garage. None of us work in the sports world, and we all just love sports and are in multiple fantasy leagues together year after year. We are a pretty fresh podcast, 8 podcasts in, and would love some advice from you guys. What helped this podcast become as good as it is? Love the content you guys have. Our podcast is called Breakfast with the Boys. And yes, my beer is filled with beers for podcast. My fridge is filled with beers for podcasting. We call it podcast juice. Ryan, as the preeminent podcast voice of our generation, what would you say? What advice would you have for podcasting?
A couple things. The audio has to be good.
See, I was going to say, like, you want good audio, a good title, and a well-prepared host. And I was like, wait, we don't have any of that stuff. So I don't know. I'm like,
well, I don't listen to podcasts where the audio is terrible. Yeah, it's hard to listen to where you can find decent audio. So that's an easy one to
take. Sometimes guests on this podcast have like questionable audio and it hurts to roll it out there because you know you're going to get feedback.
It's a lot easier when you're all together. So that's good. When you can look at each other, that makes it a lot easier. If you're friends, it makes it a lot easier. You have things in common. I think actually having a rundown, a list of things you want to talk about is actually extremely important. We don't always do that here for the better or worse. I think some people like it. Some people obviously don't like it. But I've also known Brinson since 2007. And I feel like I've known Sean way longer than that.
I was in eighth grade. You did not know me then.
I've known Breach for a long time. So that, and we see each other a couple times a year. So it's not like we're coming in this cold. A lot of times with corporate podcasts, not necessarily CBS, but anywhere there's a company that's starting a podcast. People don't know each other. They're in different places. So that makes it a little more difficult to have chemistry. So I think that helps. That said, I mean, there are podcasts that just blow up too, like where people start podcasts, they hit on something at the right time, and the next thing you know, they're on Good Morning America or whatever, because the timing happens to be right. But I think consistency, really good audio, and then having a plan of what you want to do is a good place to start.
I mean, I always think when I listen to a podcast, I want it to be like, because I think the important thing about a podcast is basically, if you listen to this podcast on a regular basis, you have some variation of the four of us or the eight of us, who are all the people who do this podcast, bouncing around in your head like multiple times per week. And so you start to sort of feel like you, I think that if you do a podcast and you want to be successful, you need to have, I think you want to be relatable. And that's the most important thing for this podcast. You want to feel like if you hung out with the people who do the podcast, that you could sit there and have a beer and it wouldn't be some weird situation. So that's what
true story. We were in Indianapolis at the combine, and some Pick Six podcast fans found out Brinson was walking down the street. Brinson's been the rest of the night hanging out with him at the bar.
Yeah, I took him down and introduced him to – they were bigger PMT fans. But I took him down and introduced him to PFT Commodore and was like, hey, there's John Elway. I don't know him. Sean, any podcasting advice?
Pretty much what you guys said. Also, I mean, I feel like the problem with starting podcasts these days is that there are so many – podcast in that specific thing you want to talk about. Like, there's a million sports podcasts.
That's fine. That's, but do it.
But no, I think you can do it, but I think you need to find a way to make it different, and you need to find your own unique, like, angle in it. Because I think otherwise you get,
if you were consistent, that's a great start. Cause I would imagine 80% of podcasts sort of peter out after 3, 4, 5 months because it's a lot of work.
Yeah.
And we're actually like, when Brinson and I started this, When were we doing the Ion Football podcast? What, 5 years ago?
The Fan House podcast.
We were producing, we were uploading, we were editing, we were doing everything. So, I mean, we're lucky that we have a producer that handles most of the back end stuff. But if you're doing it on your own, like Harry Spartan is, I would imagine it's a lot more work. And if you have a real job, that sort of cuts into free time. So I think if you're consistent, that's a bonus for you, because over the long haul, that'll make a difference.
That was one of the worst things that we did when we did the Fan House podcast or the Ion Football podcast, is we would get to the off season and it would be a struggle to bridge the gap. And so you have to, I also think it's just like when you're writing too, like you have to understand that everything's not going to click right at once. Like if you sort of have to build a good fan, like there's like, is it SVP and Russillo? Did a podcast. They started doing a podcast recently and it shot up to number one on iTunes. Yeah. Cause they're pretty big and they had a huge radio show and they had a big following. So it's easier to do that. It's hard. It can be discouraging to keep grinding away and not seeing great results, but you have to work on it. If it's a good entertaining show and you say smart things, eventually, you'll get some 1-star reviews out there, but you don't have to complain about them. Just act like they're
smart things. Like Josh Rosen is great, but not really.
Right. Exactly. Right. thank you for that. Insightful, whatever that was.
Devontae Parker, Sammy Watkins.
Would you definitely take Sammy Watkins over Devontae Parker? Contracts included.
Yes.
I don't think so. I know that
Sammy Watkins is going to have a huge year.
Yeah, I would rather have Sammy Watkins.
You got to pay his contract?
$16 million. That's a bargain.
Sammy Watkins has one season over 1,000 yards.
Yeah, he's playing with the Florida State quarterback that just retired, EJ, what's his name? EJ Manuel.
So you bashed me when I was like, Devontae Parker played with crappy quarterbacks. You're like, we got EJ Manuel.
Jay Cutler's a little better than EJ Manuel.
They dragged him out of the FS1
booth. Thank you. Ryan Tannehill was better than Manuel. Come on.
All right. Who has averaged more yards the last 3 years, Devontae Parker or Sammy Watkins?
Probably Parker, because Watkins has been hurt.
514 for Sammy Watkins on three different teams. Including Sean McVay, including Andy Reid. Devontae Parker's been dealing with Adam Gase and clown show Jay Cutler in Miami, and he's averaged 574.
Cutler into this.
574.
I love this is the hill that Brinson wants to die on, Devontae Parker hill.
Look, one man answer, on that hill. If you're factoring in contracts, the answer is neither of them. Like, I don't want Sammy Watkins at that price. I thought it was an overpay at the time, just based off his injury. Like, I would like to see Sammy Watkins in a 16-game season for the Chiefs in that offense.
Yes,
I think
so would the Chiefs.
They're about to see it. He's going to be good.
No, they're not, because Tyreek Hill, I mean, they're going to see him for like 6 games. He's going to get hurt 4 games in. You're going nuts.
1,000 yards, Ryan?
Yeah, easy.
All right, Ryan, I got a $5 bet for you guys. This is stupid of me. I'm going to do it anyway. I'll take you guys got to spot me.
Are you going to bet Devontae Parker gets more yards than Sammy Watkins?
You got to spot me. You got to spot me 125 yards, $5 a piece.
Wait, spot you how many yards?
125.
So if Watkins
Watkins has 725 and Devontae Parker has 600, it's a push.
Yeah. I'll do that.
Right. Yeah, I like that bet.
All right. We need some sort of sound noise when we make a bet.
And say boom. I just did a thumbs up emoji.
Yeah, it doesn't really have the same panache with a audio only podcast. But thank you for alerting us to your thumbs up emoji.
You know, if I lose that bet, it's fine. I'll just take $5 out of the $1,000 that Ryan's going to be sending me at the end of the year.
Exactly.
Ryan, just take it out of my check and give Brinson that extra $5.
I know. So Ryan's going to be cash. Ryan's going to have to write us checks for $1,000.
I meant to ask you. So what is a crazier bet? The 201, me taking $201 or $10 on 201 odds for
$10. I thought it was five. Okay.
For Trubisky to win the MVP in 2019, or our former boss Matt Tabeek predicting that the 2017 Raiders would go exactly 12-4.
Do you count what was at stake in both bets?
Well, clearly that was much more.
I'd much rather pay out $2,000.
But Trubisky's much less risky in terms of the monetary payout.
Tabeek's bet was terrible because he wasn't, they're going to win more than 11 games.
Exactly 12.
He literally doubled down on, I have a feeling they're going to win exactly 12 games. He was like, 13 exactly. games I lose, 14 games I lose. It was exactly 12 games. And it somehow happened.
To be
the only winning season since 2002.
Right. The odds of the Raiders winning 12 games in any given season is more.
Like,
I still think it's more likely than Trubisky winning MVP.
No way. They went from 2003 to 2016 without winning. They were averaging like 4 wins a year.
They needed like 7 crazy comebacks to get 12.
And they needed Derek Carr to get hurt at the end of the season.
They got to 12 and he had to break his leg in order for them to go stay at 12. Oh my God.
That's one of the best bets in.
It's one of the best call your shots. It's not a best bet. Yeah. It's a terrible bet. Cause we even said we'll give you more than 12. Like you can have 13, 14, 15, 16. He's like, no, just 12. That's a six.
On us.
He's like, no, 7 minute abs.
And we spent the entire night. That was one of the nights when I raced Brinson. We spent the entire night just making fun of him for that bet.
Yeah.
And I think we spent most of the season until it became clear that he actually had a chance to hit the bet.
And that's what dawned on me. I'm going to spend this 2019 season sweating on Mr. Trubisky as a MVP candidate.
Yeah, I'm really excited for week one on national television for him to throw like 5 touchdowns.
Sean pops into Slack. He's like, hey, should I get that MVP poll started this week? Or
tell you what, Ryan. You're nervous? I'll give you, just pay me 100 right now.
Yeah.
We'll call it even.
I'll buy
it. Give me $100. That's what I'm going to offer. At some point, week 8.
Screw that
we're
guy.
We're just going to cash out at like $400.
Screw that guy, yeah. Ryan. I'll buy you out for 50 right now.
You guys can buy each other out for $50 each.
Let's see. MMart6767. This is running long, but we'll finish up in a second. Hey guys, love the podcast. Ryan, his quick, honest humor makes a super friends episodes for me.
I have listeners, man. Like, what? They think Ryan's funny? Like, all right, whatever.
I have two questions. The first is this. Brinson, are you scared to go on vacation again? I mean, short answer, no. The last vacation gave us Prisco and Brady Quinn arguing about Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers, where Prisco changed the nature of this question 17 times. I was on my commute home and listening to them argue for 30 minutes made me seriously contemplate whether or not driving into a wall at 75 miles an hour wouldn't be better. I couldn't listen to the podcast for a full week after just to make sure you were back. You leaving us to listen to that is much worse than the many times you don't get an episode off. Sneaky little backhanded slap in the face there on me not getting an episode up. No, I'm not scared to take vacation. And to answer a follow-up question, no, I didn't listen to that episode. Are you kidding me?
I did.
Was it good? Oh, yeah, that's right.
I saw people complaining about it, so I wanted to see. I actually didn't think it was as bad as people were making it out to be.
They were in the same room, so it was probably pretty good, decent quality. My real question is, this is actually interesting. Do major media outlets like CBS and ESPN actually care about smaller markets? I grew up in Atlanta, and the few times they've been interesting, which I realize isn't often, the major outlets don't seem to care about us or give us any kind of major attention beyond tiny blips. Am I imagining this, or is it really that much more fun to crap over bad New York teams? I think it's a really interesting question, actually.
I can't speak for ESPN, but I will say this. For CBS, the good news is if you're in a small market is that Pete is a big Falcons and Jaguar supporter historically. He lived in Jacksonville for a long time and he was close with a lot of the Falcons guys and he still sort of props them up when he talks about them. JLC, Jason Lockenfor is from Baltimore. He talks about Baltimore a lot. I don't think Steelers are a small market. They're a really good football team, but you know, I talk about them. Is Charlotte small market? I don't know if they're really.
Yeah. I think the Panthers are a small market.
All right. So, you know, Brinson's pimping them when he does. Clearly the Bengals are small market.
I got the small market Bears.
Bears small market?
That's a joke. That was a joke.
Oh, I never know with you. But I think that's different. Like, I don't know what ESPN's strategy is. I don't listen to their, like, NFL podcasts, so I don't know who, cause Barnwell doesn't, he went to school in Boston, but I don't know if he's a Patriots fan. Like, I have no idea.
He went to Northeastern. He's a Giants fan.
Okay. So I don't know if he talks a lot about the Giants or not. We know many times he's a Seahawks fan. So he talks about that. But in general, I feel like it's not balanced because we're still missing out on a lot of teams. And we don't talk a lot about the Jaguars unless Pete's talking about it. We're making fun of, at the time, Blake Bortles. But I think it is geared towards the teams that most fans like only because that's where that's where the money's at.
Yeah. Go ahead, Sean. Sorry.
I don't think it informs, at least, I mean, I can't speak for everyone. Like, I don't think individual writers and analysts ever factor that in, maybe like higher up, I don't know, but like I'm never going to pick a big market team over the small market team because I was like, oh, there's more fans there, and then they'll read it more. You know what I mean? So I don't think most individuals factor it in. I can't speak to like how higher ops work in the industry.
100%. Breach does. I would imagine Brinson does. When I'm writing things.
Well, Brinson picks the Chargers all the time, and like the Chargers are not a. He picked the Falcons once. I remember he was going to eat the shoe or something.
No, I mean like your day to day writing.
All right. I honestly don't care about that very much. I mean, it's one of those things where I don't care about it. But yeah, if something happens to a Cowboys player, like I know, or a Patriots player, you know what I mean? You know that you have to write that. But I don't shy away from writing about the Jaguars. I mean, I used to have a lot of fun writing about the Jaguars when they were really, really bad.
You used to love panning Josh Allen last season. That blew up in your face.
What? Josh Allen still sucks.
He's going to be good this year.
Yeah, it's going to
blow up. Suck.
No, he's not.
It's going to blow up in your face.
He's a Devontae Parker of quarterbacks.
I think the two recent examples that come to my mind when talking about this big market syndrome is the Panthers and the Falcons, 2015 and 2016. Remember, like, the Falcons were putting together in 2016 one of the greatest offensive seasons in NFL history, and it didn't really feel like anybody wanted to talk about them. In 2015, the Panthers went 15-1. And all anybody wanted to talk about was how they were the worst 9-0 team in NFL history, except for the Chiefs the year before, which is another good example
in that year too, the Arizona Cardinals were also had that really good offense with David Johnson and Carson Palmer. So yeah. That was a really weird small market kind of season.
I mean, here's the bottom line is that when we write about the Panthers, it does less engagement than when we write about the Cowboys. I mean, and that's a reality. I'm not saying that CBS's editorial staff drives us towards more traffic, but it is a bottom line business, and people like hits and stories that engage readers, and stories that engage more readers are typically going to do better. Now, having said that, I've got a billion Cam Newton stories I've written that have done bonkers traffic, but that might not be a Panthers thing so much as a Cam Newton is a lightning rod type of thing, if that makes
sense. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I think it's less for us, at least I see it. It's less about the team and more about the personalities and the players that they have on the team. Like, I mean, the Packers, I mean, they're in Green Bay, like city that probably shouldn't have a professional sports team, but their traffic, I feel like, for us does fine or does well because they have Aaron Rodgers and they've been such a good – huh?
They're not small market football.
You don't consider – I mean, then I don't really understand the difference of small market because they're in Green Bay.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's a small town, but Packers fans are everywhere. It's not like Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay's clearly much bigger than Green Bay geographically, but I mean, how many Bucks fans do you know?
No, I think, but like, if you took Aaron Rodgers off the Packers and replaced him with Marcus Mariota, and I'm not saying like, you know, crappy, but you know, like,
If they were terrible for 3 years, then right.
They've been good for so long with two of the greatest quarterbacks of all time that's what I'm saying is that even if they're, I don't know if they're small market or not, but even if they were small market, I think they would still drive traffic or drive interest because they have two of the greatest quarterbacks of all time going back to back.
And the thing with the Mahomes
drives traffic to Kansas City. Kansas City is, I think, relatively small market NFL wise. No one cared when, what's the guy's name? The former Patriots quarterback they traded for?
Matt Cassel.
Yeah, when Matt Cassel was tearing things up with Todd Haley. No one cared about that team.
Yeah, and like, look, the Browns are an interesting example too because compare the Browns to the Dolphins, for example. The Dolphins are in Miami, which is one of the biggest media markets in the country. People don't give one crap about Miami because the Dolphins are always 8-8. The Browns drive a ton of traffic and drive a ton of interest because they are either 0-16 or one of the top five candidates to win the Super Bowl in a year where they have a guy like Baker Mayfield.
And their fan base is nationwide, worldwide. But they have fans everywhere.
But like Miami is objectively a 10 times bigger media market than Cleveland.
100%.
Right.
But I mean, I don't know, like NBA, are the Heat bigger than the Cavs?
Not. It depends on where LeBron's playing.
No. Okay.
Like that, but it's the same sort of thing. Like it matters where the stars are going. Golden State,
right.
Like the Golden State Warriors have been outside of the realm of interest were outside the realm of interest from NBA perspective for 30 years. Like they were as interesting as the Clippers. And then they add Steph Curry, they add Klay Thompson, they make a title run, they're now they're the preeminent team, and then they add Durant, it takes them over the top for five straight years. I mean, it's the same sort of thing. It's just, it's driven by the storyline. And so if you're just floating in this mall of mediocrity, nobody really cares. If you're like the Giants and you're Dave Gettleman, who's like doing the making fun of reporters thing, and you draft Saquon Barkley, and then you draft Daniel Jones sixth overall, are the Giants any good? No, but they're approaching Jets territory now where it's like, we love making fun of them. And you know, when you poke the bear, that people are going to flip out about it. And so it's one of those things, I think, where, you know, there's the voice of the media, the national media now in 2019 is maybe a little snarkier than it might have been in years past. And so sometimes when we're poking fun at a team like that, it's not like we're not just, it's like, oh, that's New York. It's just like, it's not like we're like gravitating towards a big market. We're gravitating towards a team that we consider to be stupid. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's why I used to like writing about the Jaguars when, you know, when people thought they were on the cusp and every single year they were terrible. Or the Browns used to be, every single year we used to write at least one post was, this is like the most Browns do the most Browns thing ever to lose a game. And I swear we probably did that post three times a season for a long time. And I feel like those posts always drive good engagement because everyone likes, every other fan likes collectively laughing at the loser, which sounds bad, but it's true. And yeah. And the flip side of that is if Patrick Mahomes was doing what he was doing in Jacksonville, those posts would probably do a lot of engagement because it's Patrick Mahomes. It doesn't matter where he's playing.
Yeah.
But they've had Blake Bortles in a running game that wants to run it into the middle of the line. So that's not very interesting.
Who's another team that, like the Bengals? Nobody cares about the Bengals, right?
No, I don't think so.
If we didn't know Breach and Breach didn't work for CBS, and Breach
we didn't talk about them nearly as much.
Titans are a good example too. Like,
oh, I mean,
the Texans have been really boring too.
The Texans
now
have,
they have Watson that I think is
and JJ Watt. And, right, they have star power.
Right,
but they're also
that's a team where if they lost Watt, Hopkins, and Watson, and were just a normal bad team, no one would care about.
That's a new fan base as well. That's 2002. The Oilers left for Tennessee. They got a new team with a new logo. David Carr, who hates Brinson. So that's a little different. But I feel like the Browns might rival the Steelers in the AFC North in terms of popularity, in terms of their fan base.
Right now, yeah, I think so.
I think it forever. Like, they've been terrible forever. And then the fact that they're good is – but I mean, they've always had fans all over the country, which is sort of weird, but it's a reality.
All right, y'all want to get out of here?
Yeah.
Good podcast. Long podcast. Maybe it'll get split up into two podcasts. We'll see. I think tomorrow, Tuesday, July the 9th, we're going to talk to Jeff Schwartz, former NFL offensive lineman, now with the Action Network and SB Nation, about offensive line rankings. So excited for that. I hope everybody had a great 4th and a great weekend. We will talk to you guys tomorrow.